WGNH Radio. That's the name of the show, On the Air with Glenn Coble, and I'm doing it alone today. Scott's got some errands he's got to do, and so therefore he may call in. We're not sure, but if he does not, I hope you don't get too terribly bored listening to me. Today is my day to talk about wines. That's W-I-N-E, not wine, but wine. We have a lot of interesting things we've already talked about. The reason why I'm talking about wine is because I'm taking off on Monday. You won't hear any more from me for the next... I forgot to hit something. Hang on. There we go. I hit it. I'll be taking off on Monday, and I won't be back until... I got to do one more thing... One more housekeeping thing here. Make sure everything is cool. Everything is copacetic. Yes, I got it. Okay. Anyway, I'll be taking off on Monday. And I won't get back for a little over three weeks, something like that. Because I'm heading out to California to visit my son. I get to see my youngest son about once every year and a half, something like that. We go out and visit him in Ojai, California. And Ojai, California is about an hour and a half north, maybe a little, depending on how traffic is going, north of Los Angeles. It's probably 80 miles, 75 miles north of Los Angeles. And if you want to get there from Los Angeles, it's a beautiful trip. You go right up the ocean, and it's beautiful, but if you take that route, it may take you 5 hours to get there. Route one is really jammed up. Crazy thing about in California, you better be careful if you're driving in really heavy traffic, because they allow, it's legal for motorcycles to go between cars in traffic lanes. You know, go right down the yellow line between you and the car next to you. So you don't want to be looking out the window or hanging your arm out the window because it might get taken off. So be real careful if you're out there. But we're going to head out that way to visit my son in Ojai. And he lives, he's a vintner. He's also a teacher, by the way. But they live right on a 2.5 acre vineyard. And like I said in the first part of the show, they also use grapes from all the farms around them. It's quite a big grape area, but they make hundreds of gallons of wine. It's not a little production out there, and I've helped them make it and bottle it. It's great fun. But anyway, so I decided last night, my puppy dog and I, you know, the executive producer Buddy and I, decided we would go over trivia questions about wine. That way I'll know more when I get out there, and I won't seem so stupid to my son. I'll know more about his vocation, as well as his wife's vocation, as well as his in-laws' vocation. It's kind of a family thing. This vineyard, his mother and father-in-law, his brother-in-law, and he and his wife all kind of run the place. And they have a, I guess you would, well, I know what they call it. They call it the tasting room. It's Majestic Oak Tasting Room. And that's the name of their wine, Majestic Oak Wine. Now, there happens to be, by the way, a Majestic Oak Vineyard here in Ohio. But my son's called Majestic Oak Wine, and I think they call theirs Majestic Oak Vineyard Wine or something like that. Anyway, there's a slight difference between the two. And the reason why it's called Majestic Oak is there's this giant old, several, well, I don't know if it's hundreds of years old, but it's at least decades old. Big, huge, beautiful oak tree in the middle of the vineyard. Now, obviously, grapes don't grow under the oak tree because there's no sun that gets to that. But all around it, there are grapes growing, and it's just a beautiful sight. And maybe I'll put it on my website so you can see it when we come back. I may even be able to get it up there before tomorrow. I think I have one in my phone where I show the vineyard. This is where my youngest was married. They do a lot of that out there. They have a lot of weddings that are performed right there at the, on the vineyard. It's not free. So if you want to do it, get in line, because they have several every summer. And I think they have them through the winter, as a matter of fact. But it's more beautiful during the summer, spring and summer. Get in line and pay several hundreds of dollars, and you too can have your you too can have your wedding right there in Ojai, California. If you want to see my daughter-in-law, type in YouTube, Ojai, that's spelled O-J-A-I, Ojai Wine, and there you'll see, you'll find lots of different sites, but I think the first one that pops up is the one that my daughter-in-law is introducing her wine, their wine. Okay, anyway, I'm learning more about wines so that I can sound at least relatively informed when I go back out there. Now, I've helped them bottle it. My wife and I have helped put wine actually in the bottles that's being sold commercially. And we've also helped cork the bottles. That's kind of fun. I have not done anything with the harvesting. It's kind of heavy-duty stuff. And he has farm hands that help them do that sort of thing. Well, here's the first question of this hour. And we're going to ask lots of trivia questions about wine. Which wine was used to toast both the signing of the Declaration of Independence and George Washington's inauguration? Which wine was used to toast both the Declaration of Independence and George Washington's inauguration? And it's not a wine that you see used a lot right now. It's used in cooking a lot. It's a fortified wine. But it was kind of a favorite of the founding fathers. It's kind of basically a table wine of back in the 1700s. It had to be pretty strong. Oh, hang on. I'm getting a phone call. Why am I getting a phone call? Hello? Okay. Anyway, I was getting a phone call there, so I hope I didn't do something wrong. I know what it was. I needed to go to my phone. Maybe my phone. I don't know. Well, we'll wait and see if we get another phone call back. Anyway, okay. listening in. Hello, are you? You're on the air. No, I guess I'm not getting you. Here, I gotta hit the little green button there. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, you're on the air. I'm not quite sure why I'm not getting the phone here. Okay. If it's you, Scott, you're going to have to help me here. I can't figure out how to get you on. All right. Anyway. Are you there? Hello? I hear noises. I hear noises. Are you there? Hello? Interesting. I need to be a better engineer, or get a better engineer than yours truly. Maybe if I bring my doggy here, it would be better. But I'm not picking up the phone somehow or rather. I can hear noises, Scott, if you happen to be calling in. But I'm not able to pick you up on my phone. Can you hear me now? No, apparently not. Can't hear me now. okay, maybe I have to hit this button. Can you hear me, Scott? Hello, Scott. Interesting. Anyway, Madeira is that wine that I was talking about. Pass me the Madeira, my dear. And it's a very fortified island wine, and it was always a favorite amongst the founding fathers. It was a wine that would kind of last. You didn't need the refrigeration and stuff that some wines require. It was kind of heavy duty. All right, let's see. I'm getting all sorts of stuff here up on my screen. Let's see if I can figure this out. Okay, I'm not figuring it out. So anyway, hey, by the way, if you want to call in, you can call into the show and tell us what you know about wine. 740-383-9944.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, I can hear you now.
Yeah, but technical difficulties, but I think we got it worked out.
Okay, now how do I pick you up?
You got me.
I guess I do have you. Well, I was talking about wine. You know, I'm heading out to California, so I was trying to educate myself about wine so I don't seem so stupid with my son. And so we've been talking about. Did you know that they used Madeira to toast both George Washington, his inauguration, and the Declaration of Independence? I bet
you know, I did not know that.
No, I'm sure.
I didn't know that, but I can believe it because I know Ben Franklin drank a lot of it.
Did he? Oh.
He did.
He drank a lot of Madeira, or he just drank a lot?
Well, I think a little of column A, a little of column B.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I told all of our listeners that you were running errands and that you might be able to get back to us before you head out. Hope everything's going well. Is it warm out there? Is it warming up?
You know, it's not bad out there. When I was out earlier on this morning, it was very overcast and very gloomy. But right now, it's not bad.
I listened to your show probably from about, 9:30 on. And you had a lot of interesting questions that you asked people. You were struggling getting people to call in, though.
You know, I'll tell you, I did the cardinal sin this morning.
What'd you do?
Can't do. I had a guest on, and number one.
That'll kill it, won't it?
That'll kill it.
It's amazing how that works. And like today, I forgot to give the phone number for people to call in, so nobody called in. And then I realized it, and I just gave the phone number out, and you called in. So it must have worked.
Yeah, it's very well. This morning I had Joe Blystone on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason I had Blystone on was because this past weekend at the Beef Expo down in Columbus, he was there as a farmer, I guess, and Governor DeWine was there, and they kind of got into a little scuttlebutt.
That's what I heard you talking about. Can you you know, give me the Saturday Evening Post version of what happened?
Well, I my understanding of what happened was is Blystone approached the governor and said, why won't you debate me? Why won't you be in the debate? And DeWine said that people know where he stands on the issues. Okay. And then Blystone called him a coward. And then DeWine grabbed a hold of Blystone and said, I'm going to kick your derriere. And he didn't say derriere.
Oh, my. Oh God.
Little DeWine.
Now, is
late
it,
70s.
Yeah.
Was going to kick somebody's can.
Yeah, I remember one time, probably 3 or 4 years ago, because I was in my 70s. I had a guy who got mad at me for some reason, and I don't remember why. You know, it was probably that I don't know why he didn't like me, but he basically told me he was going to kick my can. And I said, boy, you will really sound tough beating up on a 72-year-old guy. That's not much
of
a threat.
I can't even imagine that Governor DeWine, this man, this would be a funny story to me. If it were Democrats, if it were in a different state, I just never have heard anything like that.
Well, and Blystone, he's got to be somewhere close to 50, right? He's not anywhere near as old as DeWine.
No. And he's a lot bigger
than
DeWine.
He's a big guy, yeah.
And I don't know, what does this say about Mike DeWine?
Well, he's apparently not a coward.
He's got good security.
Yeah, he must have good security. Yeah.
But it's so strange to me that could happen. That, again, is one of those stories that is not a political story to me because...
Oh, no, absolutely not, yeah.
It's a human interest story.
Yeah,
who does that?
Yeah, yeah. And people ought
to... Do you remember when Jesse Ventura, the pro wrestler, became governor of Minnesota?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they manufactured T-shirts in Minnesota when he became governor and took the oath that said, my governor can beat up your governor. And it was a joke T-shirt.
Yeah.
But here we are in 2022, and our governor is threatening to kick another candidate's hindquarters.
And how tall is DeWine? He can't be over 5'7", right?
4 foot. 4 foot.
4 foot tall. And
4 foot one.
And Blystone's going to kick his butt. Oh, well.
I can't, and they did it at the Beef Expo where there's a lot of kids and a lot of farmers.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Now, does
this help DeWine or hurt him?
Well, did he respond to it?
Well, he's a hothead. Or do they go, hey, there he goes. DeWine's a tough guy.
Well, was he aggressively back in Blystone's face or... Was it just...
Well, Blystone said he grabbed a hold of his shirt.
Well, he did have security around him. He could do that.
I just can't even... Now, here's the problem. Isn't that illegal?
Probably, yes. It would be assault, I would think.
Isn't that a threat? Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
I just... Where are we?
I don't know. We have lost any of our civility in this country right now.
Does anybody have anything to say out there in the audience?
Yeah.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
So they can call in,
huh?
They can call in even though you're calling in.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. How do I sound, by the way?
You sound fine. Now, I have listened to the replay that I had last week. Of me talking to somebody, and I can't remember who it was, and the person that was on the phone sounded really good, and I sounded really scratchy.
I think that's you and Dr. Feynman. Do you bow back from the microphone when you talk to him?
I hope not. I'm going to try not to from now on.
Yeah, just get as close as you can.
Yeah, I'm my mustache is touching it right now.
Yeah, take a bite out of it. But I don't know. It just is so... I had to hear Blystone's story this morning because it was absolutely hilarious.
Was he a good interview about it?
He was. Blystone, you know what? Say what you want about Blystone. Like him, dislike him, vote for him, don't vote for him. You know, whatever you want to do. He does come on. He's he's not prepared, and I like that. You know, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not giving political answers.
Yeah.
I said, well, this morning, if I said to him, I said, well, what happens if you don't win the primary? And he said he's leaving the state.
Okay.
I'll tell you, that's a guy who just says what he wants to say.
Is he a farmer himself?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. So
he has a restaurant somewhere in Columbus, too, I think.
One would think he probably did that tongue-in-cheek because he has to take care of his critters.
I don't know. He seems like a serious guy to me. I can't see him being all that tongue-in-cheek with anything.
Okay. All right. Well, it's going to be an interesting primary there for the governor.
Oh, my.
Now, I did watch the very first, what's her name from Dayton? The mayor.
She's Jan Whaley.
Yeah. Jan, I did watch her very first commercial that I've seen. And she did a really good job on her commercial as well. So it's going to be an interesting race, I think. And you know that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know that DeWine will make it interesting just because he seems to be all over the map at times. But anyway. Now, do you spell DeWine with a capital W? Is it D, capital D, E, capital W? Or is it just DeWine?
I think it's just D-E-W-I-N-E.
Okay, all right. I think I misspelled it then. All right.
Well, what's your take on that whole situation?
I think, as you know, I'm not sure if you know that I have not gotten in many fights. The two I've gotten into, I get a little crazy. I've thrown two people down stairwells. No, one down a stairwell and one.
Why are you throwing people?
I don't know.
Into this, why are you throwing people down stairwells? Is there always a stairwell around?
No, I only threw one down a stairwell. I threw two others at the same time. I threw brothers to the pavement once, but oh my goodness! Now my family is all up in arms. My wife must be listening because she's now talking to her daughter-in-law. Times of when we're going to head that way and stuff. Anyway, my phone's ringing crazy. I don't know what's wrong with me. I am the type of person, if people came up to me when I was running for office and were aggressive, and there were a few, I tried to just shut my mouth and listen. And some people see that as weakness. I find it's the only way you can tell what the heck they're talking about. And if you want to hear what they're talking about, then you need to listen so that if you need to, you can respond to that. That's the way I do it. And it sounds to me like neither Blystone or DeWine had that in mind yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It just, to me, I don't know what this says about politics.
Well, one of the things that we're going to talk about on my Progressive Life today is the new rule, a new law that DeWine has approved that basically it's the Old West. You can carry a gun anywhere with basically no restrictions. Hey, we got a phone call. I better go to the phone.
Blystone's for that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, DeWine is spelt with capital D, capital W.
Oh, okay.
I just read it in the paper.
Okay, and the papers are always right, right?
Well, I've always spelled
right.
It that
That's
way.
Right. I just looked it up, too.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot for your help. Yeah. Okay, it is capital D, capital W. Okay. And you just looked it up as well. Okay.
I just looked it up as well.
So you were wrong. Nah, 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 nah.
I was wrong on that. Can you imagine? First time for everything.
I know. Well, I wanted to be the one that catches you on something like that. Oh, me. Well, I don't know why our nation has turned into a bunch of haters and angry people, but we seem to have. If I were Putin, I'd be careful.
Wouldn't you, of all those people, expect if not DeWine and Blystone? Wouldn't you think Blystone was the hothead?
Yeah, I would have thought that. I was surprised
not DeWine.
No, he's too little. But, you know, there is such a thing as a Napoleon complex, and that's, and actually Napoleon wasn't that short for his, for the time that he was around. But people always think of it as a short man's disease of being a hothead. And I knew of a lot of short kids, short people that like to get in fights and stuff, but I don't know if that's true or not. We'll have to ask a psychologist or something.
So you think it could be a Napoleon complex?
Could be. Could be. Well, you know, he is the head of state, and so was Napoleon. He is very short, and supposedly Napoleon wasn't very tall. And, you know, and he has armed guards around him, and I imagine Napoleon had a few of those, too. I would say so.
It's just civil discourse seems to be gone.
It does seem to be gone, doesn't it? And I am a big proponent of civil discourse. I know a lot of people say that I'm too weak because of that.
Is there such a thing anymore?
Well, there are a few of us. You are very...
You're throwing people down stairwells.
That was a long time ago, Scott. But you're kind of that way. You always try to find both sides of the story, and that's one of the things I like about you as a news guy, is that you always try to find both sides of the story. I've never heard you get mad at anybody. I've heard you get frustrated with people, but never heard of you get mad at anybody, except for me.
I don't. You know, honestly, I can never remember getting mad at somebody. I'm not a yeller.
No.
I'm not a dictatorial person.
No.
I don't know. That's just never been a part of my personality.
Well, it seems to me.
I don't know why.
It seems to me to be a waste of time to get mad at people.
Well, I just. What am I going to get mad at somebody? I don't. It just, I think it's a waste of time.
Well,
I'm going to get mad at you for what? That's going to bother me, not you.
Yes, absolutely. That's the truism of that. But one of the things that I think helps you, and I've learned this over, how long have we known each other closely? Probably 3 years, something like that. I have come to find out that you don't really take things personally very much. You usually think through things. You don't take them personally.
No, you know why? Because the truth is, not everybody's going to love you. And you have to understand that when you go into any kind of media.
Yeah, I guess.
And you know what? Some attacks are not fair. I understand that. But you know what? I have gotten so many good things. Like, I'll tell you what. One thing, this little episode that I'm in the middle of, which, by the way, I'm doing fine.
Good.
I think I sound fine. I couldn't
you
put
do.
On a show
yep.
at this point. But all the cards, all the well wishes, all the notes, all the phone calls. Now, that's because I have come into people's houses and cars and so on and so forth for many years now. So would I give all that away to just because a few people – can't stand me? Probably not.
I don't know. I remember when you and I first got together, I did tell you of a couple people that I thought didn't like you.
Yeah.
And they were people that you really didn't have a whole lot of, you know, concern about. And that's the best way to handle it. If people don't like you, just go on your own business. Do your own thing.
Well, that's it. And that's it. And why would it be any other way? I mean, really, what? I don't know what purpose it serves for me to get angry at somebody or for me to go, oh, shucks, you said something horrible about me. What am I going to do with that?
Yeah, and what would have happened if Blystone and DeWine had started a fist fight? First of all, Blystone would be in a deep world of hurt because... he's bigger than DeWine, and also DeWine has gun-toting people around him. So it wouldn't have done him any good, and I'm glad that didn't turn into something like that.
Well, that's why, to me, that's more of a public interest story than political story.
Yeah.
Because it's just unbelievable to me that that would happen. I can't even fathom that that happened.
Why do people get in fights? I mean, the the people that the young man I threw down the stairwell, I was pretty young then too. I was 17, maybe 18. And the two young brothers that I threw to the pavement, I was probably 14 then. I was pretty strong as a kid, so I was kind of lucky that way. But I don't remember why I got mad. I don't remember. I don't think we ever talked again, those three people. The Panos brothers, I talked with them later. The gentleman that I threw down the stairwell, I didn't even know. He was just a hoodlum, and he tried to knife me. He did knife me a little bit.
Knife you?
Yeah. I have a scar above my right eye where he got me a little tweet. But, yeah, and... That,
did you grow up in West Side Story or something?
I did.
My goodness.
I went to a South Bend City school, so we had all kinds of different people there. Well, lovely school. I really loved... Well, did you ever see the movie Hoosier?
Yes.
Okay. The final scene is Hickory, Old Hickory, playing against South Bend Central. That was the school I went to, so...
Oh, but you know what? I was just thinking. I was listening to your show last week with Dr. Feinberg.
I'm sorry.
And no, it was good. But you did not, for the first time in a long time, even after we had the long discussion last week about the corrections that I had from the previous show with Dr. Feinberg, you never brought it up.
I didn't want to get in a fight.
All it was that. And I hate to go through it again here, but I'll do it quickly.
Okay, he's probably listening, so...
Well, no, it's just he had said something about me calling it the Ukraine.
Right.
Instead of Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I just call everything. I say the Facebook, the Twitter. That's just my speech pattern.
Okay.
And the other thing was about Iraq being... When I said Iraq was the only country that we ever attacked that did not attack us, and he said, well, no, Korea, Vietnam, so on and so forth. Well, first of all, I still don't think Korea was ever called a war. We referred to
it as a police action.
Police action.
Yeah.
And we were not trying to take over those countries. We were assisting South Vietnam and South Korea in keeping North Korea and North Vietnam out of their area.
Dr. Feinman, are you listening?
Yeah, in Iraq, what happened in Iraq? Iraq never attacked us. Iraq was not asking us to come in. And we lined up on their border and said, if you don't get out of here, it was something like 72 hours, we're coming in. And we did. Now, that's the only time in the history of America that has happened. And I don't know what. So why would we attack Russia? Was the point?
Yeah.
Why would we attack Russia? They have not attacked us.
Right, and I think the Iraq thing, it was pretty much contrived. The reason why we went in there. So.
Well, and also, right now there is a war that has never stopped between Israel and Palestine. Now we don't go get involved in that. Now, we favor Israel, I think most people would say. We have an Israeli lobby. We don't have a Palestinian lobby. But we're not going – people are getting killed there. We don't go in and drop troops there. Why would we do it between Ukraine and Russia? We are not associated with either one of those countries. Is it horrible that people are getting killed in the Ukraine? Of course it is. Do I wish it wasn't going on? Of course I do. But what benefit would this have? I had a guy on my show last week, Pastor Littleton, on Friday.
Uh-huh.
His two daughters, adopted daughters, were in Ukraine when this started.
Oh, my.
He went over to Poland, got one out to Poland, and then I still don't think he's found the other one. And
she was
in a closet with a bottle of water last time they spoke. He hasn't talked to her in about two weeks now.
No.
And then an orphanage was blown up about two blocks from where she lived.
Wow.
It's awful.
That is awful.
I said, should we go to war? Now, this is a man who's got skin in the game. And he said no. Now, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting to me, and I was not fully aware of this. He cannot bring – now, Poland is taking people from Ukraine.
Yeah, I saw that.
Refugees.
Yeah.
And that's why she's in Poland. He could not bring her home with him because the United States is not accepting refugees.
Is that right?
That's what he said.
Maybe they're not accepting I'm pretty sure we're accepting some. Maybe we're not accepting them immediately because of COVID or something like that. I would have to see that in writing. I'm not sure that's true.
Well, I think he would have brought her.
I would, yeah, but maybe he wasn't able to get to her.
No, he got to her.
Met. They did get. They did
yeah,
meet.
Yeah,
okay.
He was in Poland, and she got to Poland, the one daughter. But she's still in Poland because he can't bring her here.
I would have to hear from our government why that is the case. I have no idea, and therefore I'm not going to speak about it. I don't know.
No, I'm just that's what the man said. I have not called the government.
Yeah.
But do you hear of any Ukrainian refugees coming in here?
Yes, actually I have.
Now where are they?
I watched it on TV the other night. Not a lot. It was just a handful that were settling in some school. They were brought, I think, New York, I think, but I'm not exactly sure. But, you know, it was just a handful. But it's only been going on, about 3 weeks, and so they haven't gotten here yet. And there are all sorts of things you have to do. Shoot, if you're just a person going from the United States to Canada, you have to have your passport in order, and you have to have your shots in order and everything like that. So I imagine there are things that have to be done. I don't know.
I think there's a big problem.
Oh, yeah.
Going on.
There is a big problem.
As it relates to this situation, I'm not exactly sure when we became so warlike. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I would never give my opinion either way. And to be honest with you, on this particular issue, I'm not sure. Because there are pros and cons on both sides that I really don't I don't have an opinion on this. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not me and it's not my kids going to war. So I don't really have any skin in this game, and I really don't feel like giving an opinion on that.
Well, I personally believe we all have skin in this game. And the reason why I say that is because the hatred that we've had throughout our millennia. I mean, people have always tried to kill other people because they didn't like what they stood for. People have always tried to kill each other because of their religion. People have always tried to kill each other because they look a little different. You know, we've had hatred for each other. We seem to get in little clans, and everybody that's not in our clan is bad. Well, not everybody, but, you know, you pick and you choose which clans are bad so that you can feel like you're better than them. And I think that's a state of human existence that has gone on forever.
But I don't know that that's what's going on in Ukraine. What I have seen is you have a dictator, even though they have elections in Russia, but we all know how that goes.
Yeah, right.
You've got a dictator there who wants WAN.
Yeah.
He's a former KGB agent.
Plus he wants to look tough. Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to restore Mother Soviet Union, Mother Russia.
Yeah.
And this is why he's doing it. I don't think it has anything to do with religion.
No, this one does.
Or nationality or anything. I think it has to do with one man's ego.
Yeah.
So I don't know that what skin do Americans have in that particular game with Ukraine and Russia?
Well, my belief is we all have skin in all of these games. Any game where people are killing other people, you have skin in that game because it's human race that's gone awry. And I think we're there.
But why then do we allow Israel and Palestine to be at constant war and constant terrorist groups?
I can't answer that. I think it's in human nature to dislike the other guy because you want to be better than the other person. I think that's human nature.
But why are we prioritizing things that we're... I mean, you notice we're not talking about the horrible things that go on in China.
No,
you know,
well,
they're
we do
not necessarily at war with anybody, but they don't treat their people very well.
That and North Korea, but we talk about it, but it kind of depends on how bad it is. Now, let's face it, the things that Putin is instrumental in doing, the murder of people, children in their schools by aiming their weapons at the schools and aiming them at the hospitals, is probably as outrageous as you can get, and it's pretty obvious. So I think that's why he's been prioritized now. But if people went to North Korea and saw what they're doing to their own people, they would be outraged too.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind that it is horrible what's going on in Russia right now.
Right.
I just don't know if American troops should be involved in that particular situation.
I don't think they should. I think Biden has done the right thing by keeping us out of it. If for no other reason, who wants to live through a nuclear holocaust?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't think Putin at that point would have anything to lose.
Well, his life.
Well, no, I mean, at that point, if he feels like he's being pushed out, I think he's going to do whatever he can to stop that from happening. And I was reading this morning that one of his close advisors said that he says nuclear weapons are not off
yes.
the table.
Yeah, I watched the I watched MSNBC interview that and I can't remember his name, but he was an official spokesman for the Soviet Union or for Russia, and he basically said that. He said nothing's been taken off the table. If it's required, we'll do it. You know,
right?
Yikes.
So there you go. And at that particular juncture, it is not for me to say. You know, I've always wondered this. Now, if anybody can answer this logically, tell me the answer. Okay. Now, you remember the Iraq War, right?
Sure.
Okay. Now, we went in because we believed Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Or right? somebody manufactured those facts.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, but that was the premise. That,
yep.
that our Congress and Senate voted on to go to war was weapons of mass destruction, right?
Right. Correct.
Okay. Now, do you remember we went to Saddam. We took over their radio, we took over their television, and we dropped pamphlets all over the place, and we said, Saddam, you've got, 24, 48-something hours to get out of here, or we're marching troops in. You remember that?
I didn't know that, but I have heard it since then, yeah.
There was even a clock on the news channels at that time.
Is that right?
2003. You know, until war. Okay. Now, if we really truly believed that he had nuclear weapons, why would we march our troops in there?
Well, I think at that time they believed they were beating that clock and that he didn't quite have nuclear weapons just yet. They were manufacturing them at the time. I think that's why, under the pretext that he was manufacturing weapons of mass destruction, I think that's why we went in. Not that he had them. He was just...
Well, turns out he didn't.
No, he had nothing.
But now here, we know Russia does.
Yeah.
So if we know that, why would we put American troops in Ukraine, where Russia knows that they cannot take us on soldier for soldier?
Yeah.
So why would we put our troops in harm's way of a madman who can detonate a nuclear weapon in Ukraine if we put our troops in there?
Well, I think that's the calculation that President Biden has done. He said, we can't do that. It would be mass destruction both sides, and I want to keep the American people healthy and alive and living the good life.
Right, but how do people who say go to war get past that?
I think people get angry enough at the horrible things that Putin has done, that they don't care about that, and they're willing to say. And I know that Dr. Feynman is pretty much thinking we ought to do something.
Well, I'll tell you, the mothers and the fathers and the grandmothers and the grandfathers of those kids who would be doing that, they care about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I care about it, quite frankly. I cry every night when I watch the news and see little kids with their little puppy dogs that they're carrying across the border trying to get away from getting blown up by some bad guy.
Now, there is a point here that's never talked about on the news, and I don't know why, and I'm going to try to do it quick because we only have 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ukraine was attacked, but they are at war with Russia. They are not surrendering.
Yeah.
Now, that's their choice, and I'm not saying they should surrender. Mm-hmm. But if they did surrender, the bombs would stop, the killings would stop, and people could go to Poland right now. They could go to other places. But because they are fighting for their land is why this is continuing.
Right.
Now, I'm not telling them to surrender, but I'm saying this is why this is going on. You know, the theory behind France giving up fairly quickly to Adolf Hitler was because they didn't want a lot of casualties.
Yeah.
And they knew they couldn't take Hitler on. Okay. Yeah. Now, I don't think Putin is Hitler because I think we've gotten smarter than that over the years. You know, if he tried to move beyond Ukraine, I think we'd have a problem. We didn't have a NATO back then. We didn't have a League of Nations. We didn't have we didn't have anything. United Nations.
Right.
So, you know, it's horrible, but if Ukraine did surrender, the bombings would stop.
They would stop. I think the killings, I don't think, would stop, because I think Putin would kill whoever opposed him, and there would be a lot of people that oppose him.
If this guy's daughter, young girl, 20 years old, can walk into Poland right now while this war is going on, a lot of other people can too.
Yeah, it's percentage games. I mean, do you want to lose 20% of your people, or do you want to lose 10% of your people? You know,
at some point, this Ukrainian president has to realize either I can't win this war, or I can, and I'm going to continue on.
And I think he's made that choice already. I think he's made the choice that they can win, even though it might be like Vietnam, where everything's underground. I think he feels that Ukraine can hold their ground.
But can you do it without other countries' soldiers? Because that's what he seems to be asking for continuously.
I can't honestly even feather a guess, or even slightly guess on that.
It's been an interesting conversation. I'm glad I did come in today.
Yeah, I am too.
On this. It's fascinating. So you and Dr. Feynman have a lot to talk about, but I will not be on tomorrow or Friday, but I will be back next Monday, but everything's fine. No worries for anybody. I'm alive and well.
Okay, you and I have to talk before I get out of here on Monday, but I'll text you.
We'll do that. Well, okay. I'm going to head for the dugout for the day, and you got about 5 seconds to sign off.
Okay, thanks a lot, Scott. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye, everybody.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first